I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. The pain of September 11th, 2001 is still fresh for many. Today, on the 7th anniversary, people across the country and in many parts of the world remembered the horror and the heroism of that day. At Ground Zero in New York City, there were tributes to those who died there. One victim's daughter recalled her late father and spoke about efforts to move on.
My husband and I moved into a beautiful new house, and we had a baby, Cal Norberto. I'm also continuing my college education. I know he is proud of me, and he would have been a wonderful grandfather to Cal. Whenever we parted, Papi would say, "Te quiero y vaya con Dios." And this morning, I want to say the same thing to my Papi. I love you and go with God.
President Bush and both presidential candidates attended ceremonies remembering the victims of 9/11. The attacks are still a vivid memory for those who survived. More than 250 people who escaped the World Trade Center's towers that day have granted in-depth interviews to British academics. The researchers conducted a three-year study aimed at finding ways to evacuate skyscrapers more quickly and effectively. But as Laura Lynch reports, the study also paints a powerful and surprising portrait of what happened inside the buildings that day.
Even as time passes, the memories and emotions are easy to summon. There was fear, panic, and horror as the buildings burned. 1,462 people died, but there were also thousands who made it out alive.
How'd you get out?
Police officer told everybody to form a human chain, and we held on to each other, and he flashed a light, and he directed us to Building 5, and we went out Building 5.
We started walking down the stairs. We made it to the 8th floor. Big explosion. Blew us back into the 8th floor. And I turned to Hesh. I said, "This is it. We're dead. We're not going to make it out of here."
Across the Atlantic in London, Professor Ed Gallia watched it all unfold on television. Gallia specializes in the study of disasters, but he'd never seen anything like this.
When I saw the first building collapse, the thing that...
7 years later, he still chokes up at the memory. A tear slides down his cheek. Gallia the academic was that day Gallia the human being watching a tragedy unfold.
The things that went through my mind were the firefighters and the rescue service people. Even though they knew the situation was hopeless in those buildings, they would have been doing their best to get in there and tackle the fire and to rescue the people. And I thought, my God, there's going to be a lot of firefighters killed in this incident. And, you know, that just broke my heart.
Within days, Gallia and his team traveled to New York to begin the work of unraveling what happened inside the towers that day. Their study, framed around in-depth interviews with 271 people who survived, provides an unprecedented glimpse into what happened. A privacy agreement does not allow us to talk to the survivors directly, but we had access to a 6,000-page transcript of their testimony. It is full of powerful first-hand accounts like this one.
Even though it's light outside, the dust, the artificial lights inside going out, the lights going down, it's totally dark. Now people start to panic, screaming and yelling. They're going to die. They're going to be killed. Everyone was rushing. We get knocked down. I fall on top of a woman, and another person falls on top of me. 20 other people fall all around us, on top of us. My mouth just filled with dirt and dust and crud. And I'm thinking, maybe they're right. Maybe this is it.
One of the study's most surprising findings was that the rush to the exits was, in most cases, not a rush at all. Gallia says that more than 90% of those who survived actually delayed leaving.
Now, bear in mind, this is in a building that had been hit by an aircraft, a massive fire. The people were in the building. They felt the building shake. Some people were knocked to the floor because of the shaking of the building. And they still took up to 8 minutes. Some people took up to 30 minutes before they decided, "I'm going to get out of here."
What were they doing? Here's one example from the interviews. A cafeteria supervisor recounted her efforts to get people to leave, again from the transcript.
"But people were kind of looking outside at what was going on, and my employees are like, you know, at the registers. And there's still hustle and bustle going on in the cafeteria. The guy at the grill is making the eggs and, you know, on the grill, and I say to him, 'Shut down, we have to evacuate.' And they're like, stop making the eggs. And I'm like, stop making the eggs. And the customers are like, my eggs. And I'm like, I'm sorry, something has happened at WTC1. We're evacuating this, you know, we're evacuating this floor.
When they did leave, they often found stairwells jammed with others trying to escape, despite the fact that the towers were far from full. Gallia's computer models suggest if everyone had been at work when the planes hit, almost 7,600 people would have died, many because they simply wouldn't have been able to get out. Within sight of Gallia's office at the University of Greenwich, new skyscrapers climb into the sky. East London is a forest of office towers now. Gallia is more than a little dismayed that 7 years after the attacks, U.S. building codes still lag behind British regulations. He'd like to see more stairwells built with better materials, or perhaps elevators that can still function in the face of fire. The study reinforces the need, and he says that's thanks to those who agreed to share their painful memories.
People were saying it was almost like a cathartic experience. They felt as though they were... It did them some good to tell us their story. In fact, they were saying things like, you know, if my experience, my horrible experience, is going to improve and make it safer for people in buildings, it was almost worthwhile. So they wanted to see some good coming out of their experience.
Their accounts are full of tales of terror, confusion, and carnage. But they're also marked by stories of compassion, courage, and bravery by those who lived to tell the world what happened that day 7 years ago. For the World, I'm Laura Lynch in London.
You can find out more about the study at theworld.org. You can see an audio slideshow about 9/11 memorials around the globe. Again, that's at theworld.org.